Hello guys, welcome to the Black Ooh, it's been a while.
It's been a minute, you know.
Hello guys, welcome to the Black Spin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And guys, welcome to the first pod of 2024.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How you feeling, Eugene?
No, I'm feeling good, man. Like,
first
feeling
pod
very,
of the year, season is back.
Very excited, man. And yeah, happy to see you, tennis being back. Like, yeah, how are you?
I am. I'm good. I'm happy about tennis being back. But of course, I'm going to be the typical European tennis fan and complain about the Australian time. Baby.
Oh, God. Look at my eyes, for God's sake. Like, I'm
to be honest, I salute you. You actually been staying up. Bro, I've tried. Like, even last night, I would wake up and be like, yeah. I even went to bed early to nap. When I woke up from that nap, is that my body was telling me, Lucy, you cannot do this. You
it's
need
tough.
To go and sleep. Like,
it's hard.
Tough. But I'm glad that I've rested this week because that means Australian Open.
Which starts on Sunday.
Starts on Sunday. Year. I'm going to be ready. But I know we're going to be talking about it, but I do want to say first thing, the luck that we have is that this Australian Open, a lot of the black players are actually playing the same day.
I've not really looked at the schedule like that, really.
I looked at the schedule, baby. Okay. I wanted to be sure about what I'm doing. And okay. Literally, I think only Tiafoe and Paolino, the only two players that are playing the same day. Everyone else playing at the same day.
Oh, you mean that in Paolini and Tiafoe, they're playing on the same day, but everybody else
is
playing.
Yeah, okay. I think they're playing the day one. And Tiafoe's match is even like at, was it Paolini or Parks? One of them two. And Tiafoe's match is even at 9 a.m. So I'm telling you, so at least that's good. At least, you know, that means...
As in 9 a.m. our time.
9 a.m. our time. It's better than 1, 2 a.m. Come on.
Not for me, man. I'm a night owl. But anyway.
But anyways, what is a tennis fan without complaining about... It's like, you know, that tennis is back. We're back to the real shit. We're back to complain about the time, back to complain about anything.
Erratic
else.
Scheduling.
Let's just stay on the positive. Obviously, before we get into the Australian draw... I do want to say one more thing, guys. We did not forget about the studio. We are heading back to the studio. But, you know, we want this pod to come out on time before the Australian Open. So this is the fastest way, you know, so
exactly,
you can get it
exactly,
today. So
yeah. Shout
out to us. And shout out to Eugene for suggesting for us to do this over Zoom. But we'll be back in the studio soon. Don't worry. I know you like to see our nice faces in 4K. But
the studio aesthetic.
You know, exactly. Just not today. But we'll be back. But we do want to crack on some stuff that happened before the Australian Open. Obviously, Black Spin started off strong in that, you know. We came in step. Listen, last year, what did we say? We said that this is just the beginning and we already started. Like the season barely started. We're out here collecting some trophies here and there. You know, little singles,
small,
little doubles.
Small silverware, you know.
Small little something. Obviously, we have Coco Gauff winning Adelaide. Back to motherfucking back.
Auckland.
Oh, sorry. Let me rewind. See, the excitement was so real. I messed it up. So, obviously, we have Coco winning Auckland back to motherfucking back. Let's get that straight. She won it last year. She won it again this year. You get what I mean? Didn't drop a set till the final.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It went into three sets against Svitolina. Shout out to her. Shout out to the mom. She's been killing it, bro.
Yeah.
Like, she gave birth and was like, you know what? Don't think because I'm a mom, I'm not going to kill it out there. So she's doing great. I know a lot of you think I'm a hater and I'm hating on her. I'm not. Shout out to her. I want to make it clear. But big up Coco for defending her title. She came in. And not only she defended the title, but it was so crazy seeing how she was playing and seeing some changes already, like her serves, girl. I don't know who and what her serves. She was even looking stronger as well. I feel like she's done like a lot of strength and cardio training.
Physically, she looks like a different player. Definitely,
she's like a different player. Yeah, and you know, off season she was a bit quiet. Like I feel like a lot of players were posting stuff. She did post towards the end. I mean, towards the end of the year, she did post a few like workout videos here and there. But it looks like she was working out way more. Obviously, not it's not you don't post every single thing, but she was definitely working a lot during these times. But honestly, shout out to her. She played really well. I think in one match, she even did like a bagel. Like she came in like looking strong.
Yeah,
like,
there was a couple bagels and breadsticks in there.
You know, a couple, just a little couple. You know, first bagel day in nothing. How did you feel about Coco?
Yeah, no, it was impressive, man. Like you said, like that's her seventh title now, and yeah, to win it, well, to defend her title from last year. And I think it's always nice to start the year like with a trophy. And like, yeah, she was the top seed and yeah, just did what she had to do, like top mm-hmm. seed doing top seed things. And it was nice in the final too, her playing Svitolina, who was the number two seed. Like that was the final everybody was expecting, and that's the final of what we got. So bodes well for the future in terms of like, yeah, for Coco anyway, just her game is in a good place. And like we kind of knew that, you know, towards the end of last year, obviously finishing quite strongly in Cancun. I think she reached the semi-finals at the WTA finals. Mm. And yeah, we all know how like 2023, like that was like a kind of, it was a landmark year for her. So onwards and upwards for Coco.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to her. Really looking forward to seeing her this training open. We also had Taylor Townsend, aka 3-peat, in Adelaide. You know, she won her Adelaide doubles title three times in a damn.
It's crazy because it's mad as well. Because when I wasn't watching the match, because I was watching the guys in Auckland.
In Auckland.
Yeah, because the final was happening. It was going on the same time, but I was kind of keeping an eye like on social media and stuff. And when I saw that she'd won. I knew she'd won it last year, but I didn't know she won it twice last year. So Adelaide, twice, yeah. It happened twice. Adelaide 1 and Adelaide 2. So Adelaide 1, she won that with Asia Muhammad. And then the following week, she won Adelaide 2 with Luisa Stefani.
I knew I wasn't going crazy.
Yeah, because
when I double checked, someone put 2022. And I was like, but then, do you know what? As I was making the edit of like the rundown, I was like, oh, shoot. Did I make a mistake on that reel that I made? Because I put only the thing. But I was like, I'm pretty sure that happened to her because I double check everything. But okay, now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense. Now it makes
and
sense.
That's why in our post, we said there were two editions of Adelaide last year. Mm-hmm. So it's incredible for Townsend.
Yeah, honestly. Like, so the first time she won it with Asia Muhammad, second time she won it with Luisa Stefani, and this year her new doubles partner for the season, Haddad Maia.
Haddad Maia.
Yeah, Beatrice. Which a lot of people are actually excited about.
It looks like a nice team.
A nice team. They're both great players, both in single and doubles. So, you know, but this also shows how Taylor's just built different, because the fact that she won those three different titles. Just three titles with three different partners. That is amazing. It just shows you that she is big, like, you know, she's doing a lot of the big things in it, you know.
I can't wait
till that converts to also just the singles. But that doesn't mean like, you know, it isn't a good thing. The fact that she's killing it in doubles is still something. So shout out to Taylor Townsend. She's playing the Australian Open, right?
Yeah. So she'll be playing with Haddad Maia as well.
Right. Yeah. So we're looking forward to her. Last indeed. But not least,
and oh,
as you can see, we've been very excited about this return. I feel like the whole tennis world been excited about this return of Naomi Osaka is back, and she's back like she never left. If this is how someone is playing after 15 months off the court.
Crazy. It's nuts. Shouts out to us as well, because we watched that together. We brought in a new year.
That's true. So, you know, I could have been outside shaking ass. But instead, I spent my New Year's at UG's. We literally
at BSG linked up together.
BSG headquarters. We linked up and we spent the New Year's together. Literally, we popped a little, you know, Prosecco here and there, waited till 1 a.m. to watch Osaka's first match. We were out here shouting and screaming like, Oh, the excitement was too unreal. And yeah, that was actually one of my favorite ways to spend a New Year. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be really real. Like, that was cool. So I'm hoping we have nice memories like that again.
100%.
But yeah, that was a really dope way to start the new year. But yeah, and when we watched that match, we were like, oh I wish we had like a camera reaction in the room, because we were so blown away. We were like,
we should have like streamed it, like live streamed us watching.
I swear, like literally for our reaction alone, because it was just crazy. We were like, how is she playing like this?
It was insane.
Wow. I'm telling you, listen, I know some of you players watched that match like, fuck, what the fuck are we going to do, mate? Like, what? Is she okay? But no, the serves were great. Oh, the forehands. Oh, God.
I think we should also acknowledge Tamara Korpach, Lucy. Like, obviously, like, Osaka beat her in straight sets, but she played quite well, Korpach.
No, she played well. Definitely, she played well, but I was too busy focused on how Osaka was playing. I'm sorry. Like, I think it's too impressive. Like, it was her first match back. She just gave birth. Like, again, so many, obviously, I've not experienced it. But every time you hear women who just given birth, especially athletes, they talk about how their bodies changes. And she was very open in a couple of few interviews on Insta, on Glamour, and you know, she was talking about how motherhood affected like her mental health, how she felt alone. So it's not only she had to tackle her physicality, but also her mental, to be able to be at a state where she can get on the plane, go and play, and not only play, but play like she really wants this. You know, she shared her goals, she shared what she wanted to do. And with the way that she's playing, I think she's going to have like a fantastic year.
Oh, definitely.
Like again, the serves and the forehands. Oh my God, I missed those forehands. Like those four, like, I was just there like, ah. And she was moving like up and down. Like she wasn't like, a lot of times when we see female athletes coming back from like maternity leave, they don't move as quick and as fast or as easy. But she was just, you know. She did share her schedule though. And it was crazy. Like she was when she was trying to like train back. And her schedule was like crazy. Basically, she was training from like Monday to Saturday. Sunday was the only day where you know, she spent some time with her daughter the whole day. Obviously, during those other days, I think in the afternoon, that's when, you know, whenever her daughter needed her, she was there. But she was training really hard from early morning to like late afternoon, and you could see that hard work. Obviously she lost the second round, but she lost to Karolina Plíšková, and even that, it went into three sets and she had 2 out of 12 break points. Plíšková had 2 out of 2. That says a lot. All the other stats were literally so similar between the two.
Like, she had a lot of opportunities,
yeah. But obviously when you've been off for so long, it's obvious that, you know, it might be a little bit more difficult for
it's like, I like how you mentioned her movement, because that was something that I also like noticed. Mm-hmm. Like considering how long she's been away, and also mm-hmm. she's just had a baby, so like mm-hmm. her body's going to change naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But I was reading Matthew Flutterman, his piece, he interviewed her quite recently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on The Athletic. I'll share it like in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
But in that interview, she revealed that she was working with a ballerina like during the off season. So this ballerina, basically, she works with a lot of like pro athletes in general, but she specifically helps with movement. And she's basically said that, yeah, Osaka is like one of the most natural movers she's ever seen, like in terms of just how easy it is for her to like just move around.
That is so dope.
Yeah, so I will share the interview. It's a really, really good interview, actually. But yeah, Osaka, wow. Like, I've just missed so much in terms of, like, not only her play, but, like, her mannerisms on the court. So, like, her come-ons and, like, the fist when she slaps her thigh with her fist. Like,
when we were watching the match, we were also shouting in the living room, like, come on!
Exactly. So, like, all those things that, like, we've, like, not been able to see for the past, like, 15 months. Now we have it again. Like, it's, I'm just so happy that she's back, man. And she clearly is like looking to embrace like this second time around, which I love. And I think that's going to be quite scary, like you said, for the opposition, because, yeah, she's coming with like a different mindset. And like, we all know what she's capable of. So, Osaka, let's go.
Let's go, Osaka. Shout out to her. She did say that she was going to play more tournaments this year. She even said that she wants to be even more open with like players and stuff. Like, yeah, she's going in a really different direction. Like, even all the stuff that she's doing outside the court and on the court is just looking really amazing. And also, shout out to her photographer, videographer, because you know he's
fellow countryman.
You know, obviously a lot of you have been seeing the content out there, but you know, fortunately, he's from my side. He's a born Senegalese. I think what, creative or videographer or photographer, but I hope I get it right.
I want to say videographer. Yeah.
Yeah, videographer. I mean, he's
and,
doing
and
both.
Yeah, photography too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, shout out to him. Shout out. I've realized there's been a lot of like Senegalese people coming into. I mean, we've always had a lot of people in the creative space, but it's becoming now like, you know, in big spaces. So shout out to him. And yeah, and thank you for the content. The pictures look amazing.
No, it's crazy. It's mad. Great. Yeah.
So yeah. But I think now we can crack on.
What about the ATP WTA news?
Oh, quickly? Yes. Oh, my bad.
Which you did actually mention. So
yeah, I did mention. So obviously the WTA and ATP has come together to find some rules and some solutions for late night matches and also the ball situation. Obviously, as you saw last season, there was a lot of issues with a lot of players being injured and stuff because of the whole ball situation.
They're just reviewing that.
Yeah, they did say that regarding the ball, they're still trying to figure it out, but they did have some rules that are going to start as of basically now. So, four rules. Number one, no more than 5 matches per day per court with an 11 a.m. start, with 3 matches during the day session and 2 matches during the evening session. No matches to go on court after 11 p.m. unless approved by the WTA/ATP supervisor in consultation with WTA/ATP management. Matches not on court by 10:30 p.m. to be moved to an alternative court by no later than 11 p.m. Last but not least, night sessions to begin no later than 7:30 p.m. with a recommendation for 6:30 p.m. I'm guessing this doesn't include the Grand Slams, right?
Exactly, yeah, yeah. So it's just WTA ATP events. Because, yeah, the Grand Slams, they kind of make their own rules, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. So at least we're going to start somewhere.
Yeah.
If it goes well, who knows? Maybe the Grand Slams will implement it too. But it's nice to see that there's been a solution. Like, I feel like there's been a lot of times where there's been issues with the ATP and WTA, and we get a solution way after. So the fact that we're finally in a space where they're giving a solution like now, I personally, I'm going to be so honest, I did not think that we'll get something now about
the, yeah, it's been pretty like immediate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and but they fixed it pretty quick, which is great. And hopefully the Grand Slams will take it, because a lot of time these type of things happen during the Grand Slams.
Especially in New York. I'm not mad at it. Like,
or no, New York is not really the problem, because at least with New York, when it starts late, at least it's done. Australian Open, when it starts late, at least it's done. There's one Grand Slam where if it starts late and if it doesn't finish, I'm not saying, you know, it could be any. You know, it could be any Grand Slam. But I'm just saying, there's one Grand Slam where if it starts late, it might be dragged the next day.
Bloody Merton Council, anyway.
You know. But I didn't say the name. I didn't say the name before anybody come for me. But yeah.
Just lastly on that, like, I always like it when the WTA and ATP, like, collaborate. It's, you get me? Like, it's just a no-brainer. So yeah. I think, yeah, more kind of collaboration and just... basically, yeah, them kind of making sure everybody's on the same page, because it just makes life easier for everybody. So
for sure.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yep. So should we now start
the main event?
The draws. I'm gonna leave that one to you. Are we starting with the men or women?
Let's go women first, actually.
Women?
Yeah. Before we get into like the main draw, I do want to, we need to shout out and acknowledge a qualifier who didn't make it. So she, Hayley Baptiste, she lost in the final round of qualifying.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to win two matches to get there, like that's some effort, and it's pretty heartbreaking to lose in the final round, but I'm sure she'll stick around because obviously we all know you can get in as a lucky loser. So we'll see if she does end up getting in as a lucky loser, but I think it's important to acknowledge the fact that she did win two matches in qualifying.
Yeah.
Women now. Let's go seeds first. Coco Gauff, number 4 seed. So she starts against Anna Karolina Smidlova of Slovakia, I want to say.
Okay.
And she could meet Alicia Parks in the third round. Obviously, if they all, they win their matches, they're in the same section. And you know me, I don't like looking at like, or projecting.
Yeah,
but when I did see that, I was like, that's interesting. Because I don't think they've played before. Yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a potential third round blockbuster, like in terms of for us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Jasmine Paolini, 26 seed. So this is her first time being seeded at a Grand Slam.
Deserved.
100%. And also she had a good win earlier in the year, actually. Well, she started her year with a good win against Angelique Kerber, another returning mother.
Yes, that's true.
At the United Cup.
That was a United Cup, yeah.
Yeah. And then she lost to Caroline Garcia in
her next
match. And
do you know what I actually loved about that is that I opened Twitter and I saw that match. And I was like, see, we've been telling you, do not sleep on our girl Paolini.
The Paolini stock is high right now.
We've been on that from the jump. And we've
100%.
Told you guys, welcome though, because we love 100%. It. We need more. So shout out to Paolini. Like,
no, definitely.
She's going to have a fantastic year.
No,
one of the most hardworking WTA players.
Yeah, I believe that too. So she plays Diana Schneider, the Russian. Good player actually. So that's an interesting draw.
And that's
like,
gonna be,
We said last year, Paolini, she got some really horrible like first round Grand Slam draws. This year being seeded, her first one, she gets a talented like teenager. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a winnable match for her. And she's obviously expected to win that being the seed as well. So we'll see how that goes for Jasmine.
For sure.
Naomi Osaka, this is another like blockbuster actually.
Ooh.
So she takes on Caroline Garcia in the first round, the 16th seed. And that's gonna be a match.
How do you feel about that one?
I feel Osaka's gonna win. I really do. Like,
really?
Obviously all the pressure's on Garcia, like being the seed. Osaka's the one coming back. This is her first Grand Slam, like as a mother as well. Obviously, she's played Brisbane.
Mm.
She's a two-time winner in Australia too. Like, and I, like I said, there's no pressure on Osaka. And that for me is why I feel I'm able to back her. Like,
okay.
How do you feel?
It's going to be a tough one. I'm not going to
It's going to be
you.
Very tough, definitely.
Because, do you know what? If it was Garcia from like 2-3 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, easy. Respectfully.
Garcia was like top 10 though back then.
But that's what I'm saying to what?
She was in the top 10, Lucy, like
a year ago.
Even a year or even two
okay,
years ago.
Let me say three. There was no. Hold on. Garcia, let's stop there. Let's keep it 100 on this podcast now. Check them history right there. Check them as I'm saying, because
so she's currently world number 20.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. Two years ago, Garcia was only like, was it 2 years ago or a year ago that she started like stepping up out of nowhere?
So, okay. So 2023, she was number 4, ended the year 20th. 2022
was a year she was
fourth. So she was a top five player.
So 2022 was a year where it was her year. I don't know what was on. She was winning titles. You know, she was like, her rankings were going up. Like, she was playing different. Well, I don't know what it was. She got rid of her dad. Great. But a year after that, years before that, bro, first round, Garcia was out.
Mm.
So if it was a thing where Garcia was That's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. If it was that Garcia from ages ago, I would have been like, we got this. But the Garcia right now is a little, is she's still in between the old Garcia and the new Garcia.
She's so a when solid I saw, player, yeah.
When I saw that, I was like, fuck. But very entertaining match. I'm scared. I'm gonna be totally, I'm not saying it because I don't believe in Osaka, but this is me being realistic. And I'm just a bit like, I don't know, man. And I feel like I was the only one. Because even on Twitter, everyone on Twitter was talking like you. They were like, oh, yeah, Osaka, it's going to be great. Osaka got this. I was reading the tweets. I was like, guys, hello. This is not Garcia from 4 years ago. Please, this Garcia is a little bit different. So we need to, you know, we need to come back on earth right here.
But, yeah, I have faith, Lucy.
Okay, I'm going to have faith. Osaka's going to kill it. But back of my mind a little bit, I'm like,
No, I hear you. It's not going to be easy. And like I said,
yeah, 100%.
Garcia is the seed, so she should win. Yeah. And like, that's exactly what I'm saying. There's no pressure on Osaka.
More pressure on her. You're right. You're definitely right.
So, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. It's a great first round match, like for the kind of the neutral spectator. So
definitely.
Yeah, lucky people in Melbourne that will be able to see that in person. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Sloane Stephens. So she takes on wild card Olivia Gadecki, who is Australian, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stephens, she had a good win against Katerina Siniakova in Brisbane. And then
she lost to Mertens.
Second round. That's it, Elise Mertens.
That was three sets.
Good player as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she played Hobart the following week, and I think she lost in the first round there to a Chinese player, Yuan. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that was three sets.
Again, that was three sets too. Yeah, yeah. So like an indifferent-ish start to the year for Stephens, but, you know, come Grand Slams, obviously everybody kind of steps their game up. So
yeah,
that's a good draw for Sloane, I think, in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Townsend, who you just kind of spoke about earlier. This is a tough one. She's got Paula Badosa, yeah.
Is it actually tough?
I swear it's unseeded.
Yeah, because she was injured in that. For like, yeah, she hasn't played in a hot minute.
She hasn't played for a while, yeah. So she's been kind of struggling with injuries, but we all know she's a talented player. Like, but again, that is it's a winnable match for Townsend, definitely. I don't think they've played each other before. So this, I want to say, is going to be a first time meeting.
Her last match last year was US Open. Actually, no, sorry. Was it Wimbledon? Wimbledon.
That's it.
She did play Adelaide, and she lost to Adelaide in three sets. So okay. I think we should be all right. We should be okay. Yeah, definitely.
I'm just seeing if they played before. I don't think they have.
I don't think so either. I don't remember. If they had, it has to be doubles. But I don't think so. I think this is their first time. This is the first time they played against each other. Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting matchup. They're quite close in terms of ranking. So Townsend is 80th, but also is 74. So it's a good matchup in terms of like ranking. But yeah, that's a winnable match, I think, for Townsend. Obviously, she's coming off the back of her Adelaide success in doubles. So good luck to Townsend. And then last but not least, Alicia Parks. So she plays a qualifier I've got here, but obviously now the draw has been made. So I do need to update that.
So she's playing a Ukrainian player, Daria Snigger. Oh,
very unfortunate name, but
very unfortunate name. She's 21, so she's pretty young as well.
Good draw for Parks there. Yeah, I'm gonna say, Snigger, she's outside the top 100, so she's 136.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, she came through qualifying, so
yeah,
she'll have those three matches like under her belt. Through qualifying, but Parks, she'll be kind of fresh. I don't think she played one match this year because she was also with the USA, so she
at the United Cup.
She didn't actually play, but she did play. What event did she play before? She played Adelaide, and she lost in the first round to. Well, she lost in qualifying actually to Katie Bolter, who's yeah. I don't know why Bolter's playing qualifying. Oh, Adelaide was a 500, that's why.
Okay.
So yeah, Parks should be looking for a first win of the year at the Australian Open. And again, that's like we said, that's a decent draw for Park. So good luck to her.
Definitely. Is that it?
On to the men now.
Well, actually, before we move to the men, I think it would be dope to, because I feel like this Grand Slam, there's a lot of like noticeable first rounds that are non-black spin as well.
Yeah, because I'd say we do that at the end.
And
like
just round up. Perfect. No, round up. Bad. Yeah. Let's do men then. Let's go.
So men, let's start with the seeds. Actually, no, qualifiers. So again, we had two qualifiers in the final round of qualifying. Mm-hmm. And again, I had my eye on this while I was watching Arthur Fils and Arturo Fils and Ben Shelton in Auckland. But so yeah, Gabriel Diallo, he was playing David Goffin in the final round of qualifying. He actually won the first set, but lost in three.
I'm surprised that Goffin had to qualify.
I know. Yeah, he's dropped very low in the rankings. I think he was out. He's been out injured though for a while too. Former top 10 player. Okay. So. Okay. That when I saw that round, when I saw that draw for Diallo, I was like, that is so bad. Like, just unlucky to get bloody Goffin. Like,
exactly.
But like I said, he won the first set and then lost in three, unfortunately. So good effort on his part for winning the first two matches to get to that final round of qualifying. And also Giovanni Bepeschi Pericard, the French kid. He also lost in the final round of qualifying to a fellow Frenchman, Hugo Grenier. Mm-hmm. And again, that was a three set defeat too. So tough, like, losses in the final round of qualifying for both Diallo and Mepeshi Pericard. But again, they could possibly make it as lucky losers. So I'm sure they'll be sticking around. But yeah, on to the main draw. So Ben Shelton is the 6th seed. Obviously, last year, quarterfinals he reached.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a tough one he's got in the first round. Roberto Bautista Agut.
Yeah.
The veteran, the Spanish veteran. But we need to shout out Shelton, though, because he's had a good start to the year.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Reaching the semis.
Semis at Adelaide?
Auckland,
sorry.
Top seed as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Played some really good matches, like in terms of like just his level. I was really impressed with like his level. He did lose in the semi-final to Taro Daniel of Japan. Mm-hmm. In a good match.
Taro Daniel guy has been moving up, you know.
Yeah, he's a good player. And like he's also had some big wins in his career. Like I want to say he's 30, as in 30 years old. But yeah, he's beat Djokovic.
Okay.
Commentator kept mentioning that. I think it was Indian Wells in like 2018 or 2019. Mm-hmm. So he's just a solid player. Like think Japanese, like you think obviously Nishikori, like he's kind of hardworking, just a grinder. And that was kind of how it kind of played out yesterday against Shelton.
Mm-hmm.
Shelton, Bautista Agut, and then we've got Francis Tiafoe, the 17th seed. He takes on Borna Coric, the Croatian, who's unseeded.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tricky first round.
Yeah.
And they've only played each other. I think they played each other once.
I was about to say, and I think...
Davis Cup, Coric won.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah. But obviously that was like 2018. It was a long time ago.
Mm.
And like, obviously, yeah, you all know Tiafoe is a different player. Like... Mm-hmm. Compared to where he was in 2018.
He played, I kept some notes just in case I don't forget. He played at Hong Kong. He didn't go to Australia, which I'm going to lie. I was actually quite surprised that he did that.
Really? Because the time zone is pretty similar. Like,
I'm not talking about the time zone. I thought he would just go to Australia rather than go into Hong Kong.
Because
he went to Hong Kong.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is, Feast did as well. Yeah, so him and Feast both went to thing, but at least Feast after that he then went to, he went back to Australia.
Well, New Zealand, but yeah.
Sorry, New Zealand, but yeah. But I was kind of like, I was basically what I'm trying to say is, I didn't think he would do Hong Kong, or at least he could have done like Feast. But even in that match, like he was, his serves were looking like different as well. I think the first set of,
You're talking about his match in Hong Kong?
In Hong Kong, yeah. The first set of his, I can't remember if it's first or second match. I think he got a bye on the first match, actually, didn't he?
Yeah, bye. First round bye. Then he had Kuzmanovic, who he beat.
Yeah, so the second round, sets. He had like 95 or 92% first serves win. That was crazy.
This is the quarterfinal that he lost.
Quarterfinals where he lost. So the round before that was the one where he did like a 92 or 90 something percent first serve win. It was crazy. But yeah, but shout out to him. That is a tricky first round, but his overall draw is looking decent, to be fair. But yeah, we'll see how it goes.
And then we've got Felix Auger-Aliassime, who's the 27th seed. So he takes on Dominic Thiem. US Open champion. 2020
US Open. Yo, if you
he's also coming back as well, because he's obviously had his long injury layoff,
bro. And that's what I was going to say. If you told me that Thiem would be in this position in 2024, I'd be like, what are you talking about?
It's kind of wild, isn't it?
It's really, tennis is one crazy ass sport, because how did we get here? But that match, boy, I'm looking forward to it. How do you think Felix is going to do?
I was going to say, because obviously Felix, he had a loss in Auckland, actually. So he's only played one match this year.
Yeah.
Or one singles match. He did play doubles at the United Cup with Canada. But yeah, singles, he's only played that one match in Auckland, and it was a defeat to Daniel Altmaier. He had like taping on his knee. So that clearly that clearly is still an issue. Like, for him, I'm hoping it's more of a, like a precaution than actual like injury, if that makes sense. So, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see like how he fares like in Australia. Like, it's not, to be fair, that isn't the best draw. Let's just be real.
No, it isn't. And the last time that they played each other was, I think, was the year Thiem won his US Open,
2020,
and obviously Thiem won.
The COVID year. I remember that being a good match, though.
That was a good match. That was a good US Open, first of all. That was a good match.
It was.
I think it went straight sets, but I think there was like a tie break on like the first or second set or something like that. But that's going to be one of the matches that, I feel a lot of people are going to tune into that one.
And then we've got Christopher Eubanks. Shouts out to Christopher Eubanks, friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
He actually takes on Taro Daniel, so who is now, he probably could be a champion by the time you guys listen to this in Auckland.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. He's playing the finals today. What, a couple of hours?
So I've got here, interestingly, if Eubanks does win that match, he could potentially face the fifth seed, Andre Rublev. In round two. Listen, I mean, you all know Eubanks is, he'd be upsetting people at the Grand Slams.
True.
Think back to Wimbledon.
It's been. But I think that will be I want that to happen, because it's going to be like a fantastic match.
Oh, yeah, it'll be a like great match. Definitely.
Very entertaining match. So fingers crossed we get through, and then we can have that match coming in.
Like you said, indeed, fingers crossed for that. And then we've got Arthur Thies taking on Yuri Vesely of the Czech Republic. So again, Thies coming off the back of his semi-final run in Auckland too. Mm-hmm. He lost to Tabilo, Chilean, again in straight sets. I was praying, obviously we were all praying for Thies Shelton final. We never got that.
I know, we never got it.
But
that
would have
been dope.
It's been a good start to the year for Thies, because he did reach the quarters in Hong Kong. He lost to Rublev the week before. So that's a good run in terms of like good start to the year, quarterfinal and a semi-final going into the Australian. And then last but not least, Gaël-Monfils Thies. He takes on Yannick Hanfmann of Germany. If Monfils wins that, and obviously if this second round opponent also wins his match, could potentially face Andy Murray. Two vets. I want to say they're the same age. I think probably are. Definitely the same age group.
They're the same age, and also the same players that will play one long match. So if that match happens, block all your time away, guys. It will be entertaining, but it's going to be long.
The Battle of the Fathers.
Listen, obviously, about the Fathers.
Murray's got his, like, what, 3 or 4 kids? Monfils just has one.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice moment if that does happen, actually.
100%, so definitely.
We'll see. We will see if that happens. But yeah, that rounds up our kind of draw in terms of black spin. But yeah, over to you now with the notable
first round. Since we're with the men's, let's just stick with the men's. So, Berrettini and Tsitsipas.
Damn.
Yep.
That's crazy. Yep.
That's a bit wild. Obviously, the other one was going to be, I think it's mainly the women that is quite a few more, actually. Obviously, there was Team and Felix. That's another thing that a lot of people were talking about.
Yeah.
Still scrolling down. Yeah, I think for the men's, a lot of it is just like the draws. The Sonego and Evans, that's a bit interesting.
Mm-hmm. Again, potentially a long one. Probably a 5-set all over that.
5-set. But whoever wins that match would then have to play against Alcaraz if he beats Gasquet. So that's going to be that bottom. I feel like the bottom.
Alcaraz Gasquet, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So those, and then whoever wins that then play against each other, which is going to be really dope.
Mm.
Regarding the women, so we have Iga versus Kenin.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Grand Slam champs.
Mm-hmm. Collins versus Kerber as well. Wow. What else?
That's a moody one.
Yeah. And the thing is, they all like in the same, they literally in the same thing, like same draw as well, like the same, they're the top draws as well. Georgie and Azarenka.
Okay.
Really interesting.
I think Azarenka's going to win that though, surely.
She should. She went all the way through like the quarterfinal, something like that. Was it Brisbane or one of the, anyway, she went far this year.
Yeah, she went deep
already.
One of the warm-ups, yeah.
Pliskova versus Rybakina.
Rybakina, third seed,
yeah. I don't know if you saw, I didn't watch her match, but apparently people were saying that she tanked her last match.
I mean, I'll be surprised, like...
Oh.
tanking's probably not the right word, but like there's a Grand Slam happening in literally a few days and she's a contender to win it, like,
yeah,
let's be do you get me?
Jessica Baguda, saying please use your brain and be realistic.
Come
of
on, man,
you want,
like,
to get the hell out of there.
Jessica Baguda, she pulled out of her, I think it was a quarter semi-final match.
Yeah, she said it was like a GI thing.
Listen, whatever it was, I get it. Go to Melbourne. Like, get ready for Melbourne.
Get ready for Melbourne.
Right. I'm talking about the contenders to win.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
You need to be in the best possible position. And it's weird. Like, because even Uche, shouts out to Uche who he had on. He was saying, like, oh, he doesn't really understand why players play the week before a Grand Slam.
Mm.
And I was like, to be fair.
I think, like, it just helps you get a feel of what's
going on. Yeah, I think for me, the top contenders, they don't play. They are in Melbourne training and warming up, getting used to like the environment and the courts.
Mm-hmm.
But like players outside the top 20, top 30, mm-hmm. yeah, they should be playing as many warm-ups as possible, like mm-hmm. ranking points and just, yeah, to kind of get some matches in. Because you don't know how you're going to do at the Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm never mad to see a player like withdraw from an event close to a Grand Slam. I think it makes sense.
Mm.
Controversial, I don't know, but yeah.
No, you spitting facts. So yeah, enough of the tanking comments, guys. Enough. Eugene has spoken. okay, we also have, this one's really interesting, Raducanu and Rogers.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's, yeah. And they're both kind of coming back off long injury.
Basically.
Yeah.
So that's going to be pretty interesting. And all the other rest are the ones that we've already mentioned from our players, to be fair. Samsonova and Amanda.
Amanda Anisimova.
Yeah, Anisimova. They're playing.
That's quite tough, actually. Yeah, that's a tough one to call.
Yeah, so I feel like a lot of the first rounds are looking more interesting in the women's side, to be fair. A few in the men, but the women, obviously. And also, speaking of the women, shout out to the WTA, man. The fact that we had was it all semi-finals? Yeah, it was all semi-finals and it was all at the top four. They were all in semi-finals or finals already. Just says that the WTA is different. So shout out to them. So it was Igor, it was Rybakina, it was Coco, and it was Sabalenka. They killed it. They killed it. So shout out to them.
Top seed's doing top seed things. I like
it. Exactly. Exactly. Mm. So, yeah. So, obviously, we're now getting to the most important bit of the pod. Eugene Allen, what are your predictions for this 2024 Australian Open?
Nah, we're really doing this. This is too, it feels like it's way too early, man.
I know, right?
Man, this is tough.
Mm.
I'm okay. Women, I feel very confident about this woman, this pick I'm gonna go for.
Okay.
Because she's coming in hot.
Coco.
Indeed.
Okay.
I can see her doing the whole, basically doing the Naomi Osaka, winning the US and then doing the Australian, the back-to-back hardcore thing.
Okay.
And yeah, she played some good tennis in Auckland. And I just feel like, yeah, she's up to level. Mm-hmm. And I do also feel there's going to be a lot of upsets like first week. So a lot of the seeds are going to drop. But we'll see. But yeah, my pick on the women's side is Coco Gauff.
Okay.
On the men, I always struggle. So, Oz.
No Nadal.
Which I kind of called, but we won't say anything. who are we going to go for the men? Oh, it's so boring. It's so boring, but yeah.
Nine times? 10? 20 times?
It's going to be Novak. It's going to be Novak. I'm sorry to be so boring, but yeah. What about you? Who are you going with?
Obviously, man, I've got Novak. Women, you might be surprised by this.
Go on.
I got Igor.
Not surprised, to be fair.
During the United Cup, I didn't watch her matches, obviously. Well, let me not say obviously, that comes a bit rude. But I didn't really watch her matches. But from the clips that I saw, bro.
Yeah, she hitting. As usual though, man, it's Igor.
It's not. And the fact that she cried at the end of the United Cup, she's coming for blood. She's coming for blood, bro. She's not playing nice. She was even giving a little attitude to, oh shoot, did you see it? Who was it? They were warming up. Fuck.
Oh yeah, King Wing Jen. Yeah.
That was too funny. So they were warming up. And Iga, to be fair, she did not realize that the ball that she was like, it hit Queen Wen and stuff. But Queen Wen was trying to tell her like, yo, like you hit me and stuff. But Iga, her story was kind of like, relax, man. Like, you know, like relax. It was an accident, isn't it? Like, chill. Like, it's not.
You
it's
love
not
drama, you know. Lucy, why do you love the drama so much?
Because that's what I live for. But it was funny. It was like everyone on Twitter was laughing.
It was funny.
But do you know what I thought of when I saw that? I thought of the interview that we had with the Jenkins brothers when Jermaine was like, yo, these girls do not like each other. They just like to fight. That automatically my mind with it, because it didn't need to escalate to that point. Even though it didn't get bad, but it didn't need to escalate to like the little screw face or whatnot. But that's an example to show you that Iga is not playing around. I'm not your friend. I'm here to play. I'm here to win. And that's why I think she's going to be a threat. So not only she has that attitude already coming in, but the way she was playing from those clips that I saw is looking tough. I'm not going to
lie. Fair play. So you've just gone real boring though and just gone for one.
I've gone real boring. And I always feel like...
The two top seeds.
Australian Open is so hard to predict because it's like... Happy New Year and boom, Australian Open.
Exactly.
If it was at least a couple months before it was Australian Open, then cool. But it's like, as soon as we're starting, it's like, we're already talking about Australia. Like, can you believe it? This is starting like basically now.
But again, that's why it's a great opportunity though for anybody. Like, to, if you're
that's
on, true. Like, you get there's an opportunity there for you to pounce. So I hope I'm wrong on the men's side, but yeah, just for the sake of the prediction, I'm going to go Novak. But yeah. I do feel like Coco has a great chance of winning, and I feel like she's going to she's going to want to show that, yeah,
she's definitely getting second.
Yeah, yeah, it's only a matter of time, but I feel like she's going to want to show that she's the real deal. We already know she is, but like, yeah, this would be kind of to stamp on that. Like, do you get me?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, we'll see though, man. You know me, I've always got to go for Coco. Like,
you always do. You always do. But, I think that's it for now.
It is.
That's it.
So we'll talk more about, like, obviously, we'll have like our review. Let's say review. Be like a, yeah, it will be a review, won't it? Like the next one. And that will be in the studio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely. So, yeah. We'll come back and we'll chat after the US Open. But don't worry, guys.
Australian.
US Open, gosh, Australia Open, sorry, is 11 p.m. where we are right now. So yeah, but don't worry guys, just stay tuned on socials. We're going to be up watching these matches and updating you as well. So yeah, Blackspin Global everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe. And thank you guys. Thank you for a lot of you guys are also new listeners. We've been getting a lot of new followers on IG and on Twitter. So sick, welcome to the fam. This is how indeed we do it. As you can see, bringing you all the latest info on our amazing Black players. Shout out to the players. Good luck to them. They're going to kill it. And it's going to be amazing. And I'm looking forward. First Grand Slam.
I am, man.
Looking forward.
It's always exciting, like, yeah, to start the new year. Like, like you said, it comes around so quickly, but it is exciting. So
definitely.
Yeah, man. Good luck to everybody competing. And let's just hope we get we have some success.
We shall have it.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. You know this is a Black podcast.
Until next time, guys. Thanks for listening.